And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, the Bible says there is power in the prophetic word of God, and that Jesus is the very spirit of prophecy. Do you know how much power that is? I mean, God is going to give you, as a Christian, power to rule over the nations. Well, a lot of you really don't want to rule over the nations. Some can't even rule over their own husband or wife. So I'm sure God will let you out of it, you know. Some people say, well, I just want to go back to my wood whittling. Or some lady says, well, I want to go back to my cooking. And okay, well, God will honor that too. But he has some selected out for these high positions, I suppose. But it won't be like the leaders that we have now. You know, a lot of people point to the book of Romans, where we're to be in obedience to those appointed in authority over us. And they tell me, well, if you rebel against the government, you're defying the Bible. Because Paul said that we should obey those appointed over us. Well, I've been around a long time, and, you know, that sure certainly is misinterpreted. God never told you or me or anyone to do sin because somebody forced it on us. But in that they are agents of Christ Jesus here on earth, then we are to follow them. I mean, a judge tells you, you shouldn't drive over, oh, let's say 60 miles an hour on a certain highway. Well, that seems like a good rule, and it's meant for public safety. If you drive over that 60 and you get a ticket, you get hauled into his court, he has every right under God and under man to stick it to you, friends. That's the way it goes. But he cannot, you know, command that you do something evil or sinful. And so, you have to use your own judgment on those things. But in case you want to know it, of course, I remember back in the old days, you know, when we had George Bush in as president. I call it the old days. Of course, President Obama sometimes thinks he's still in office, and he blames everything going on George Bush. But in any case, I would get letters. Do you know you're saying bad things about the government or the United States or whatever? You're defying the government, and you're supposed to obey them? This is the same kind of person, of course, that would have obeyed Hitler or Stalin. You say, what? Well, wasn't Stalin in power? Wasn't he the civil authority? And weren't you supposed to obey those in authority over you? So when Stalin told you to go around and round up fellow Christians and take them to the gulags, you would have done that joyfully, right? Well, you see, my friends, God has other plans for Christians. We're to be holy and justified. Well, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer vetoed a Senate bill. That's an Arizona Senate bill. To a lot of people's consternation. I want to talk about some secrets today. That's one of them, of course. Do you agree with Governor Brewer? John Kerry, he's Jewish. It's been confirmed now by his brother. Of course, he's lied for years about what he is and who he is. I was the very first one to expose John Kerry's Jewish roots. We'll talk about that. Oh, let's see what else we got to talk about here. It's so much fun. Oh, yes, the robots. We keep talking about robots. Here's another article on them. Hey, online trolls. Do you know what a troll is? Well, it's sort of a loathsome, devilish creature. They don't really exist, of course. Or do they? Are they online? Is the government paying trolls to police the internet, to go to all the chat pages and the comment sections and put comments that are favorable to the government? I know of people who do nothing but that. They work on the internet. They go to work every day and they just look for things to say to knock people like you and me. They're government trolls. I believe the Jewish organizations have a bunch of trolls out there too. In fact, one of the biggest center of the trolls in the whole world is Israel. They have thousands of people that are just employed to go online and to lie and propagandize for Zionism. We'll talk about that. And then it seems that Israel is leading the world in homosexual trickery, propaganda. But of course, you better watch out before you go to Russia with all that stuff. Putin just might put you in prison for being a propagandist for the homosexuals. Meanwhile, the Hamas, that's a Palestinian freedom group, they say Israel only has 8 years left to exist. Now, of course, they've been making a lot of claims for years and Israel lives on, but it might be true this time. They say they will enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem in jubilation and victory. By 2022, there will be no more Jewish state. Of course, you doubt the Hamas, but then Henry Kissinger said the same thing. I think he gave it the Jewish state 10 years to exist, but that was last year, so there's only 9 years. So there's 1 year difference between the two. I don't know the reason for that, but it's sort of fascinating, isn't it? Well, let's talk right away about Governor Brewer. Now, the Arizona legislature passed a bill which said that you cannot discriminate against anyone. They have a right to say no in a commercial transaction if they have valid, or that is, they have actual religious beliefs. You know, the case that you and I know about was a photographer that a gay couple wanted to hire the photographer to catalog their marriage. He said no, he'd prefer not to go photograph their marriage and provide them the photographs because he was a Christian. And the homosexuals said, we don't care what you are, you're going to come. And they sued the guy. And he lost and he was ordered to go to their wedding. Now, first of all, I don't know why they would want to force a guy to be their photographer. He probably wouldn't do a very good job anyway, would he? Would you like some person that didn't even want to be there to photograph your so-called marriage? But of course, it goes back to the fact that they weren't really getting married at all. They're gays. They can't marry. You know, Steve and Bob and Sally and June can't get married. I mean, they can, but it's a farce. They're just sticking it in your face, that's all. They're just trying to rile you and I up. But in any case, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't want to rent their apartments. They've got a vacant apartment, they don't want to rent it to a gay couple. There's taxi drivers, I suppose, that don't want to take gays around. Now here's the kicker on all this. There's many people that don't want to serve Christians. Believe me, if people knew what I did, they wouldn't serve me either. They'd say, you're that Bible-believing Christian on the radio.
You write those books. You're Tex Mars. We don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, I found a very excellent a painting, and I thought, well, this would be a great cover, make a great cover for one of my books. So I wrote the artist. He was from New York City, and he wrote me back and said, no, I don't want to sell my art even one time to you. I don't want to buy the art. I just want to buy the use of it one time. Because you're one of those Bible-believing Christians. I hate Christians. He said, I'm a homosexual man. And I hate Christians. You cannot use my art. Okay. If I had known he was homosexual, I wouldn't have asked for the piece of art in the first place. But okay, he told me that. That's his business. I found something even better when I looked around. He had his rights. He hated Christians. I wrote the guy back and thanked him for his consideration and, you know, told him that I highly recommended that he consider Christianity and, you know, never heard back from the guy. So Christians are being discriminated against all the time. I mean, I constantly hear of Christians being fired from their job for wearing a cross. And Christians all the time are because they don't go to parties and drink. All these office parties, they're all being discriminated against. We know that. The people really being discriminated against are the Christians around the world. Many cannot find jobs because they're Christians. Others have been laid off or, you know, they're not told why we want you to leave. We prefer you not to work here. That's what they say to them when they find out they're Christians. I had a lady 2 years ago wrote me a letter and said she did a great job, won all kind of commendations. Then they got a new boss in, and she was only there for about 3 days, and she found out that this girl was a Christian. She called her in and says, we don't want your kind here anymore. There's the door. She says, why are you firing me? I've been here for 7 years. I've worked great. I've got all kind of commendations. The woman says, we don't want your kind here. Because she was a Christian. Well, in any case, this bill was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. All it said was, if you don't want to serve somebody because of your religious views, you don't have to. Now, in a decadent, evil country of sin, how many times do you think this would have happened? Is there any church in America that you know would not accept a gay couple? There's a few small churches. But I hear these pastors in these big mega churches all the time. If you're gay, come, we welcome you. You can be part of our congregation. I mean, they won't even turn anybody away. People can shack up, be gays, watch Hollywood. Hey, and that's the way the world is today. But Governor Jan Brewer was pressured. She was forced into this to veto this bill. And now Christians can be sued by anyone that claims that, you know, the Christian didn't serve them properly. So if you got an apartment, you want to rent it and this flaming gay couple come in, or some transgender, some drag queen comes in, you say, oh my goodness, I don't want to rent to her. Too bad. You'll be sued if she finds out why you wouldn't rent it to her. Now, even the NFL told Governor Brewer, if you okay this bill, if you sign it into law, we're going to cancel the NFL games. We might take the Arizona football team, the NFL team, out of Arizona. I think it's time the NFL shut their stupid mouth, don't you, folks? I mean, come on, these are football jockeys. They hadn't got a brain. If they did have a brain, well, I'd sell it to chickens for chicken feed. Also, the NFL came out with a new rule that says that players can't use the N-word against each other. The N-word meaning nigger. You can't call somebody a nigger. Now, first of all, I understand it's mostly the blacks calling the blacks nigger. But they're saying no one can call anybody a nigger. Okay. How about white boy? That's the famous term that the blacks call whites today. White boy. White girl. I don't think they ought to be able to call him a white boy, do you? But that hadn't been ruled out. The F word is still in. You can tell a guy F you, but you can't call him a nigger. But you can call him a white boy. Goodness gracious. Well, what if the referee has sort of poor hearing? And he hears it wrong. Because that's all, you know, the big craze is, and fights and arguments and bars and everything. He said, he called me nigger. No, I didn't. No, yeah, you did. No, I didn't. So are we going to haggle and scream all day when the referee's out there saying he called him nigger, 15-yard penalty? Boy, whatever happened to the old, you know, bricks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Are these little namby-pamby players you have to protect from a word? They're playing football, for goodness sake. Let them out there and play and say what they want to. You know, a lot of guys call other people's name and people names just to get them all stirred up and rile up so they'll mess up the play. Now, I'm a boxing fan myself. That's the way boxers always do. They get out there and they get in the clinch and you see them talking in the other guy's ear. They're calling him names. Or they're saying, hey, you can't punch for anything. Hey, you don't hit as hard as my sister. Or, you know, my mother can box better than you. I mean, or, hey, I saw your mother. She's ugly. I mean, these boxers tell each other things. You know, I liked old Harry Truman saying, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Now, I think it's pretty impolite. It's a terrible thing to call a person by the terms like nigger and white boy and all that. And I've never done that. I don't want to do that. My dad wouldn't let me do that when I was a little kid. Boy, he'd have grabbed me back behind the neck and said, what did you say? I don't want you calling anybody names like that. So I never did. I was, you know, I was impressed at a very early age. Don't do that. Some of the kids at school would do that, but not Tex Mars. And you know, it worked out pretty good. I didn't go around calling anybody names. That's the best policy. Don't call anybody any name. But they're going to do it on football fields. Jerry, now you're a football ref. I know you do high school games. What do you do when they mouth it to each other? What do you call a penalty? You sort of let it happen? You chew them out. Jerry says he chews them out. You don't let them do that, huh? There you go. But what if a black kid called a white kid a white boy? Is that okay? Oh, you do have a double standard? So you have a rule, set of rules too? So you let them call him white boy? Oh, I see. Because you're used to, and they're telling top. But now that you know it, I mean, I think white boy is just as bad. Yeah, you know, so. But they really shouldn't call it anything, right? Get out there and play. Okay, I'm sort of a football purist myself, you know. Okay, so Governor Brewer being pressured by the NFL and everybody else. Hey, I understand a lot of people, you know, said we're gonna move the locations of our conventions and our meetings. You're gonna lose all this business in the state of Arizona. So Governor Brewer said, well, we're causing more problems than we're solving. So she vetoed it. Now, I don't mind really vetoing it very much, I'll tell you. You can't force people to do the right thing. So, sort of interesting, isn't it? Well, online trolls. Online trolls. You know, I'm reading now, I have an article here from the London Independent, dated 18 February. It says, online trolls are psychopaths and sadists, psychologists claim. Now, psychologists have studied just who online trolls are. They go in, they try to sideswipe you. They try to take you off of your thoughts and everything. And they always have their opinion on these comments pages, don't they? But their opinions are usually sort of warped. Well, psychologists say that's because most trolls are psychopaths and sadists. Now, again, a troll is a person who goes online simply to try to wreck it or try to bring the conversation somewhere else. You may be exposing the fact that Israel was involved in, let's say, 9/11. And you're giving all kind of data and information. You prove your point. Then along comes this guy and says, well, you know, that's not true. I know for a fact. And then he gives all these facts that are totally incorrect. He leads people into thinking that he's telling the truth, but he's a liar. And he's being paid to do what he's doing. He's a troll. Now, the psychologists say not only are many of these people, they don't say it, but other studies have found that many of them are paid government agents. Others are paid by organizations. Even Coca-Cola and companies like that pay for trolls. Of course, they call them public relations. You know, I'm a public relations assistant. All he does is go on the online all day and somebody says something about a Coca-Cola and he says, well, I drink Coke and I love it. It's just great. Why? It's even good for your health. Did you know that a health study from Detroit found out that people who drank Cokes lived 10 years longer than others? Of course, he just made up that statistic. He's a liar. But it sounds good. Then you go around telling your friends, you know, I used to be against Coca-Cola, soft drinks. I thought they were bad for you, but I found out in this study that you live 10 years longer. Oh, is that right? Yeah, I found it online. A troll just spread this rumor, you see. Now, the government does this. In fact, a psychologist, Cass Sunstein, has been hired by Barack Obama to lead the charge. He has a whole office in the White House. His only job is to lead a whole, you know, range of trolls that go out and try to pump for the government. Now, you know Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is a bunch of baloney. But all these trolls are going on saying, well, I'm on that. I'm on Affordable Care Act. And it's so much cheaper than the old system. I'm paying $500 a month less. And the doctors take care of me great. I love Obamacare. Well, actually, the guy's a paid troll. He works for Sunstein or somebody else. He's lying. He's not on affordable care at all. But he leads people to think that it's just fantastic. It's a great health care act. Who could complain about it? Why, it's saving the average family $2,500 a year, just like Barack Obama promised. Now, who pays these trolls from the White House? Well, you do. You and I. The taxpayers. Now, this leads to bad things because who can believe anything on the internet? Who can believe anything? Well, make sure it's a reputable name. You know, there are people that I just trust on the internet. I see their name. I trust that person. I read their stuff. Pretty decent. But if somebody goes by, you know, Gawker or use these names they make up, they're on the comments page, I really don't trust them. And I'll tell you, the stuff you read about Tex Mars is ridiculous. I mean, you know, I've read that I dropped out of college. Oh, yeah, some troll's out saying Tex Mars dropped out of college. He never completed one course. The professor said he was a drunk, and he had to drop out. Another guy says, don't believe Tex Mars. He's a secret Jesuit priest. He's a Catholic Jesuit priest. That's all over the internet. You're a Jesuit priest. That must surprise my wife, Wanda, for her to know that I'm a priest. Wanda, you've been sleeping with a priest. I'm sorry. She's been with a priest. Let's put it that way. And for how many, 30 some odd years, she's lived with a priest. I think I'll write a book, you know, and put Wanda's name on it. My secret life with a priest, my husband. See, this, it just gets ridiculous, folks, on these things, doesn't it? Oh, and, you know, every once in a while, people will try to say that person is a homosexual. That seems to be popular too. I get letters. Did you know that so and so is a homosexual? And you know, sometimes I have to stop and think because you know the guy is a little effeminate. Maybe he is, but when you think of trolls, you know, I need proof. I'm not going to go out there and say a guy's a homosexual or anything till I have some proof. So anyway, now here's something very interesting. You know, I did an article back when John Kerry was running for president. Now he's our Secretary of State, of course. But John Kerry, that's not his real name, by the way, Kerry. Like many lying Jews, he changed his name. His name was Khan, but he changed it to Kerry. His father, his grandfather particularly, was a well-known Wall Street stockbroker. Now it seems that his brother is angry because word's getting out that John Kerry, a Secretary of State, is prejudiced against the Jews. Yes, he's an anti-Semite. Well, you know, according to Benjamin Netanyahu, the whole world are anti-Semites, but they say that John Kerry could be an anti-Semite. Now, his brother has responded to these charges of anti-Semitism about his, you know, John Kerry. And he wrote a column in Israel's largest circulation daily newspaper, the Yediot. Cameron Kerry is his name, John Kerry's brother. Now, in my newsletter, I had a picture of Cameron Kerry one time wearing an I Support Israel t-shirt with his Jewish friend marching down the street in a protest. His brother Cameron Kerry is a member of a synagogue, but John Kerry claimed he's Catholic. Now, you know, they have these big Catholic, mainly Catholic, Irish Day parade. St. Patrick's Day. Now, on St. Patrick's Day, people go down the street and they're all dressed, you know, like little people and so forth. And they all claim they're Irish. Well, John Kerry was also the leader of the parade. He said, I am Irish. My family's Irish. We've always been Irish. He joined the Catholic Church. Now, he's pro-abortion, but then a lot of Catholics are pro-abortion, even though it's official church policy to be pro-life. Then Tex Mars comes along, and I found out that he was Jewish. His name was Khan, and I exposed that fact. And then it sort of circulated out through other newspapers. Now his brother writes for an Israeli newspaper and says, my brother John cannot be anti-Semitic because we're a Jewish family. All of us are Jews. Oh, so he would have been a Jewish president if he's elected? Mm-hmm. Yes, he would have. He was a liar, though. Said he was an Irish Catholic. Oh, boy. Now we'll learn a little bit more about Kerry and his wife and other folks, all Jews, when we return right here on Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us, won't you? Have you read Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star? You know, it's one of my favorite books. It's 432 pages, large format. It's about the size of three or four regular books. The cost is $30. Oh, is that right? Well, okay, well, Jerry just reduced the price. Okay. He says, I'm wrong. Well, we're going to give it to folks for $25 then, plus $5 shipping and handling. Thank you, Jerry. You know, sometimes I just get it wrong. And in any case, it's $30 shipping and handling. Good, good. You know, we have so many books here. I get the prices a little confusing. But it's $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. And there are hundreds of articles, things you've never heard before, I promise you. You'll find out, for example, why Richard Nixon resigned. The Jews were after him. There's a crusade by the Jews to destroy Richard Nixon. The Watergate thing was just a ploy. Then there was Spiro Agnew, the vice president. He went up against the Jews, and he too was destroyed. They have all kind of secret stuff on just every person. You know, the Israel Mossad is they're the main source of all of these lies and, you know, incredible things, because even the National Security Agency, all of the phone calls that it, you know, pirates from millions and millions of telephone calls, and they also go through the internet and pirate millions of email messages. All of that goes first to Israel. And Israel has teams of translators and others working. They know what everybody is doing at any given time. And if you have a name of any substance, any authority, then they know everything that you're doing. And they make millions of dollars, no doubt, billions off the stock markets of the world, because they know what's going to happen in the future. And I talk about that in Conspiracy of the Sixth Morning Star, but also talk about the religion of the Jews. It's interesting that the Jews, believe it or not, have what they call their tree of life. And at the very top of it, they have a deity. He is the serpent. His name is Leviathan. But that serpent has another serpent beside him. Two serpents. His name is Behemoth. Now, who would have ever thought that Israel, that Judaism, would worship the serpent? Well, the rabbis won't tell you about that. But I dug it out of their textbooks. And they're all pretty mad at me, because I'm telling you what Judaism really is. That's why Jesus says you don't worship the same as Abraham and Moses did. You have, for your religion, he told the Jews, you have the traditions of the elders. And what traditions are those? Well, you worship the serpent. Jesus even called them serpents and vipers. Was Jesus a stupid man? Was he just a dummy? Did he know what he was talking about when he called the Jews serpents and vipers? I think he did know what he was talking about. Of course he did. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says that Satan is that old serpent? That's what Satan is called, that old serpent. If they worship Satan, then they're worshiping the serpent. Did you know that the Jews have a communion? They have, it's called Passover, of course. We know about that from the Last Supper story of Jesus and his disciples. But the Jews have taken this Passover and perverted it. They believe that in the last days they're going to have a Passover feast to honor the serpent. That's after they've conquered all the Gentiles and we've been either killed or become their servants. In their Talmud, in their Kabbalah, the Jews say that at this great Passover feast, when the Jews are elevated, they become gods of the world, they will become their own Christ figure. And they will literally not partake of bread and wine. No, they will eat of the serpent. They will cut the serpent into pieces and eat the flesh of the serpent. And thus, the Jew becomes the serpent. By eating of the serpent, he becomes the serpent. This goes back, of course, to the old occult theories and the occult beliefs that if you eat a person, then he becomes part of you forever. That's a sick, disgusting thought, isn't it? But that's in the Jewish religion. They're going to eat the serpent, so they will become the serpent. They will all be serpents on earth. And you know, Jesus talked about be as wise as serpents. He didn't say become serpents, but be as wise as they are. Now, all of this I report to you. And I give you the names of the rabbis that are teaching it. And they're pretty mad at me. They're pretty angry at me for this. You know, I haven't got a lot of, you know, warm fuzzies from the rabbis recently. None have stopped by the ministry here to congratulate me for the book. But they know it's true. They know it's the most astonishing book ever. It's written things about the Jews and about Israel that no one was ever supposed to find out. Did you know that President Truman received a money bribe? He received money in suitcases, cash, from a man named Abraham Feinberg, a Jewish spy, who bribed Harry Truman, the President of the United States, to recognize Israel as a nation. That's how they became a nation in 1948, through a money bribe to a corrupt president. I'm sure you saw that on page one at the top headline of your local newspaper, did you? Jews bribed Truman to win the state. On the same day in 1948, the Soviet Union and Joseph Stalin recognized Israel. The very same day. Why? Because that date had a Kabbalistic significance. I suppose Stalin was probably bribed too in some way. And members of Harry Truman's cabinet actually resigned in protest. Interesting, isn't it? The name of the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, for $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. I think I got the price right then. Jerry. You know, Jerry, he corrects me on these prices. He makes sure that our people are not going to get anything but the lowest price. He never comes up and says, Tex, your price is too low. Raise it. He says, hey, now that's not the right price. You got it too high. And he lowers it. Well, that's Jerry, you know. That's the way these honest guys do it, don't they? You know, listen, we have the most wonderful staff working here at Power of Prophecy. They really are. And they care about you. You know, I know they've got their jobs due and they can't lollygag and chat with you all day, but they love to hear from you. They love for people to call up and order something and, you know, tell them how the weather is in Montana or somewhere while they're taking their order. And Jerry might, he answers the phone too sometimes. So you may get a hold of Jerry and you, if you're a football referee, he'd like to hear from you. You know, he sort of, you know, he thinks he knows it all as a football ref. And I guess he does, you know, he's got me way, way beat. You know, I know very little, but you know, I've got my opinions, but Jerry says they're wrong sometimes. Well, you know, I have my opinions about Jesus Christ too, and they're true because they're all biblical. Now that's where I, you know, I guess you might say where the rubber meets the road, right? Okay. If you want this book, and I hope you do, you got to have this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's eye-opening revelations. Please phone us at toll-free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and order the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, you know, we're in a beautiful neighborhood here. We bought this place. How long has it been? About 13 years ago, 12 years, something like that. No, way further than that, wouldn't it? Yeah, 18 or 20. And I'm terrible on numbers and things. That's why I mess up on the prices of the books. But we bought this ministry building here. It is way out in the sort of the country, and it's right down, way down a one-way road. Well, so it's the only way you can get there. We're at the very end of the road, and there was only a couple of houses, a few, on this whole road. And now they've come in and built beautiful homes in here. Just gorgeous. And every day I see new building going on. We're the only commercial place here. We're all the way at the end. So if you want to come see us, come down, you know, Bee Cave Road and turn right here on Patterson Road, go all the way to the end, and there we are. And a lot of folks do come see us, by the way. And we're always happy to see you. Of course, we don't stop work. We keep working, but we'll probably give you a cup of coffee and Coke or something. You can sit down in our room back there. We have a couple of easy chairs and go over our little library, and maybe you'll see a book you like. But we're always happy to see folks, and it's a real thrill. Okay, let's return to our regular program now. We're talking about secrets, a volume of secrets. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. We were talking about John Kerry's brother, Cameron Kerry, who wrote a column in an Israeli newspaper talking about the fact that the Kerrys' heritage is Jewish. They are Jews. You know, John Kerry said it was a revelation when he learned in 2003, shortly before he ran for president, that his grandfather had changed his family name from Cohn and converted to Catholicism. But evidently, his brother Cameron never converted. Now, Cameron says, I'm married to a Jewish woman, and she and I and our entire family are practicing Jews. And Cameron Kerry says, our relatives, that means of the Kerry family and his wife, their relatives were killed during the Holocaust, in the Nazi death camps. Of course, all Jews of any age claim that their relatives were killed in the Holocaust, whether they were or not. Now, you know, it's sort of like a Czech-born from Czechoslovakia, Madeleine Albright, our former Secretary of State. She learned her family was Jewish from a Washington Post story. She said, I had no idea. I'm a Jew. Then she went over to Czechoslovakia and visited her grandfathers and uncles and all their graves over there. She was Secretary of State too. She was so shocked. I'm shocked, shocked. Remember the movie Casablanca? Humphrey Bogart, they were all, well, anyway. He said, no good, says Cameron Kerry. No good can come by calling into question John Kerry's good faith toward his own heritage. Now, his wife is Maria Teresa Ferreira. That's her name, and she comes from Portuguese. Her father and mother were extremely rich Jews, and their name was Thierstein. She was from Mozambique. Her family owned a huge plantation there, and she's worth, well, several hundred million dollars. Now, she was the wife of a Senator John Hines. Now, John Hines claimed not, he wasn't Jewish either, U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania. He said, I'm not a Jew, but he was. He was a liar, like most of these people, and he married Maria Teresa Thierstein Ferreira. Boy, I tell you. Now, John Hines was killed in an aircraft accident. As far as I know, it was an accident. And his widow, Maria, married John Kerry. And that's the way they do. The Jews marry the Jews. And it's very rare when a Jew will marry outside their own race or faith. So this is just... It's just amazing. But Kerry's brother says John is not anti-Semitic. Why, he's a Jew. Who would have known, huh? Well, just ask us here at Power of Prophecy. You know, I just don't like liars. There's nothing wrong with being a Jew. Not every Jew is evil or conspiratorial. Goodness gracious. Many of them are friends of this ministry, and we treasure them. We really do. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you're brought into the family of God, and your race is forgotten. You know, your race is only going to be for a small few decades here. How long do you plan to live? 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years? If you can live 100 years, well, you're going to die. Then you're going to go in posterity to wherever your reward is, hell or heaven. If you're Jew racially, but you give your life in service to Jesus Christ, if you belong to him, then guess what? You're of the family of God. You're going to go on to heaven. In fact, you become a member of the kingdom of God from the moment you know Jesus Christ. Then being a Jew doesn't mean a big thing. Now listen, I don't care if you're Italian or Portuguese, Spanish. You can be my brother or sister. Yes, you can. Now, it can't be something else, though, because I understand that Facebook, you know, the social page, now ask what your, you know, race is. And they have 50 choices. You can choose all kinds of things. Used to be just you were either man or a woman, but now they've got 50 choices. I don't know. Maybe you can be half cow, half man. I don't know what all they've got in there. How can you choose from 50 things? I just stick down, you know, I'm white. But I may be a little bit, you know, I don't know, maybe a little bit tan after I've been out in the sun a while. I don't know. 50 Facebook has. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it takes for a while to read the whole list to find out what you are. Just incredible. You know, if people would believe in Jesus Christ and forget their race, it'd be a better world. Now, I know out there, blacks say, you know, whites are all honkies and they're all devils, and there's whites out there saying that the blacks are all evil. And but, you know, folks, when you come to know Jesus Christ, if you're sincerely a Christian, all that is just background clutter. It really is. Background clutter. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to live for a billion years, more than that. I'm going to live forever because Jesus is going to uphold me. Did you know, I love the book of Revelation. It says that Jesus opens the door and no man can shut it. Somebody recently wrote and told me they lost their job through no fault of their own. I said, don't worry. You got Jesus, my friend. He'll help you. He'll open doors for you. And no man can shut them. And you know what it also says? He also shuts doors and no man can open it. You know, I one time had a black girl, black lady. She worked for the radio station owned by the First Baptist Church of Dallas. And I'd been on their radio program a number of times as a guest, and I had a new book out. Its title was Big Sister is Watching You, about Hillary Rodham Clinton. It exposed Hillary Clinton. It was the first book ever to do so, entitled Big Sister is Watching You. And I was scheduled to be on her radio show by her producer. But when she found out the title of my book, she was a big Clinton fan. You know, the blacks love Clinton almost as much as they do Obama. Now, she was supposed to be a Christian, but she was really offended that I would say a bad thing about Hillary Rodham Clinton. You know, I told the truth. That was too much for her. So she called up Wanda and said, I'm canceling Texas' appearance on my program. She was the hostess of the program. She says, I don't have a guest who will slam wonderful people. Well, Wanda told her that I wasn't going to slam wonderful people. I was talking about Hillary Rodham Clinton. But, but anyway, that was too much for her. You know, I wonder if I could sue her in the state of Arizona. I mean, she was prejudiced against me, wasn't she? She liked Bill Clinton and Hillary. Yeah. Maybe I could sue that artist that wouldn't let me put his painting on my book. Yeah. Nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to waste my time. You only have so many days, so many hours on the calendar for Jesus. Why should I be fighting the devil? Even if I won a lot of money from these people, what's it, you know, so what? You know, back when we did that book on Hillary Clinton, Christians from all over did terrible things to us. I remember I was on 5 radio stations up in Washington State, and they canceled my radio program from all 5 because I had said something negative about Al Gore. They loved Al Gore as vice president. They said, did you know he's a Southern Baptist? I said, no, he's a Mother Earth, or he says the Mother Earth goddess is the one who's real. That's from his book. Oh, you're a terrible person. We're canceling. So they canceled me. Prejudice, see? I never said anything, though. I didn't sue anybody. They had their right to cancel me. They're just wrong, that's all. Well, in Israel, puppets have become a point of gay pride. Reading a story here about 2 puppets on Israeli TV. Their names are Socket and Plug. You get it? You plug. Well, anyway. Socket and Plug are Sheka and Teka. Now, the state-owned Israel Electric Corporation is employing these puppets and actually has done so for a decade. Now, the Israelis themselves sort of know that they're gay. People know that they're, you know, gay. But they've got a new little baby now. So the gays have got a baby. Now, evidently it was born by a miracle, because how can gays have a baby? But in the so-called Holy Land, it seems that homosexuality is extremely popular there. Did you know they had the worldwide Gay Day parade? The Gay Pride parade, although it was a gay day. And gays went to Tel Aviv from all over the world and demonstrated in the streets. Now, it's supposed to be the Holy Land, but they made it the Homo Land. Well, Sheka and Teka, commonly known as Socket and Plug, are saying they're proud of being, well, in any case. You know, they're very popular little puppet creations in Israel. I mean, they got a paddle boat. They drive around in a red convertible. So it sort of sounds like America, doesn't it? That's what we have. I understand Ellen DeGeneres is going to, you know, be the host or hostess or whatever for the Academy Awards this year, the Oscars. You know, it's just in your face all the time, isn't it? Now, this other program they had a while ago, the Grammys for the best music, they had 33 gay couples got married on the program. 33, the highest number in the Masonic order. 33 gays got married. And now, Ellen DeGeneres is going to host, or hostess, whichever you think she is, or whatever she is. You know, friends, it's an evil, evil world. But somebody writes to me, and they said to me, why is it God is supposed to be powerful, but the world is getting more and more evil? Well, God is giving the world a chance, my friends. He's giving the world an opportunity to be good. But the world can't help itself because it's full of sin, it doesn't know Jesus Christ, and it's going to be evil. And the Apostle Paul said things will wax worse and worse until the end come, with men deceiving and being deceived. Now, all of these gays and all of these things that are going on, They're all deceiving each other that what they're doing is right. And the churches are welcoming them and saying, it's okay, you're part of us. But it's not okay. It's wrong. It's evil. It's sinful. And I don't care if you sue somebody and make them serve you or whatever. It doesn't make what you're doing right. Just like aborting a baby. Abortion may be part of the law in a certain state, certain locale. But that doesn't make it right. You're still a murderer. Well, I'm just a young girl of 17 or 16. You know, I'm sure God will forgive me. I don't know if he will or not. You're not asking for forgiveness, are you? Why should he forgive you? You never asked. You went ahead and had the abortion. Well, the Pope probably thinks a lot different than me. And he recently gave a speech in which he said he hopes that Catholics and Protestants will come together and spiritually unite. Well, they went crazy when they heard about this in charismatic groups. And I understand that Anglican, that's the Church of England, Bishop Tony Palmer, he was invited to speak at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and he was there. And here's what he said. They played the video message from Pope Francis. Pope Francis spoke to the, by video, to the charismatics that were there, and talked about how they was, why don't we give each other a hug, he said. Now, wasn't that sweet? Why don't we give each other a hug? That's basically what the Pope said. But here's what the Bishop Tony Palmer said as Kenneth Copeland was standing there just loving it. Now, Palmer told the crowd, quote, when my wife saw that she could be Catholic and charismatic and evangelical and Pentecostal, and it was absolutely accepted in the Catholic Church, she said that she would like to reconnect her roots with the Catholic culture, so she did. She became a Catholic. The crowd cheered and went wild. And Palmer said, brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over. Is yours? Yes, they all said, our protest is over. And Kenneth Copeland said, quote, heaven is thrilled over this. You know what is so thrilling to me? When we went into the ministry 47 years ago, this was impossible. But now they can both be one. He and Palmer, all the audience, in fact. And it's hundreds of thousands listening on TV stations everywhere across the world. They can join in prayer and hug the Holy Father. They're all one with the Catholic Church. And they're all going to end up in a place called hell. And that's why it says, my friends, in the book of Habakkuk, there is a place called hell, and it's being enlarged. There's never enough room there. I mean, if you want to work in construction, go to hell. If you want to. Because they're building new facilities there. Hell is never finished. It's being enlarged. Find that in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Hell is being enlarged because of people like Kenneth Copeland and Tony Palmer and Palmer's wife. But if you want to know Jesus Christ, you want to go to heaven, if you want to be a member of or a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem, you can be that too. Praise God. Well, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Secrets, another volume. Until next week, my friends, well, just tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.